Welcome to the Avengers Podcast, where we assemble weekly to binge the MCU and all things nerd, old and new. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Avengers Podcast. That is one word, ladies and gentlemen, A-V-I-N-G-E-R-S Podcast. Give us a like, a comment, and let us know what you think of the show. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever podcasts are available. If you'd like to support the show, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. We have exclusive content only available on our Patreon, and we greatly appreciate that support. Another way to support the show is consider giving a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice if you like the show. I promise both of these go a long way with us getting eyes and ears on the show, and we greatly appreciate it. But I'm just one of your hosts, Brandon, and I'm happy to be joined by my two co-hosts, Emmy! Emmy, how are you doing? I'm putting you right on the spot!
How are you, Emmy?
I'm exhausted. I'm spread a little thin like Spider-Man is in this movie.
Woo! Spread a little thin!
But it's okay! Because it's what? Our 100th episode!
Oh, 100 episodes! 100 episodes! Clinton, how are you doing, sir?
Sticky.
Okay, we're going to continue the first. Okay.
Still sticky.
Well, guys.
Sounds like a personal problem.
100 episodes.
I can't shake it, man.
Did you ever think we would, for one, do 100 episodes of the Avengers podcast? For
yes.
Two. Okay, that's awesome. For two, did you ever think it would be Spider-Man 2 that we would be reviewing for our 100th episode?
No.
That was a shock.
Yeah. Yeah, that was news to me as well. But guys, thank you so much. Speaking of Spider-Man 2, if you have not seen Spider-Man 2, spoiler alert ahead. This is 2004's Spider-Man 2, so please be careful. We are going to spoil it. Some people may have not seen it. I'm trying to be kind to those. And guys, we got a new patron. We've got a new patron. Brandon White. Brandon White, thank you so much for your patronage. Did I ever shout out Julia Horowitz? I don't remember. I don't think I did. So Julia, if I have, I'm so sorry, but Julia Horowitz is also a patron of ours. So Julia, Brandon, thank you both for your support. 100 episodes of the Avengers podcast. We could not do it without supporters like you. So thank you.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you. And Brandon White, if you're the Brandon White I made out with in college, let me know. Hit me up.
Okay.
What you up to these days?
Besides following me on on the podcast Patreon. All right.
Well, we too have a Brandon on the podcast who is white.
Clinton, I never confirmed what ethnicity I was. So way to assume, you dick.
Well, I mean, judging by the look.
Well, that's what gets you in trouble.
And judging. And your personality.
What about
and your dancing skills?
What about my personality is white? I have never. Anyway, guys, so we're going to skip ahead. If you listen to our Spider-Man 2002 review, which was last week, we are not reviewing it scene by scene. We're just giving a general conversation about Spider-Man 2. That's what we're doing in our weeks off, is just talking these movies as three friends at a table, just talking all with
one another. And he's still sticky, guys.
So, Emmy, you were raising your hands up. We do have Rotten Tomatoes, though, to get to, regardless of how we discuss this. So, Emmy, what's our Rotten Tomatoes score? Tell us for Spider-Man 2.
I want to hold everybody on the edge of their seats for a second, because this is the 100th episode. I am going to bring up Iron Man 2 100 times. One, check.
Oh, God.
No, do not, please, God.
If you have turned off, if you turn off this podcast,
yeah. Jesus,
you know what's funny? Clinton took her so seriously. He's like,
the joke was old the first time you said it,
but I guess I guarantee she's brought up Iron Man 2 100 times in the podcast.
Oh, easy,
300 probably is more accurate number. So,
I in my head, I was like, oh, what else could we do? And I was like, maybe I should tell them at the end that I was trying to get them to groan 100 times. So that was like four right there, just talking about Iron Man 2.
I tried to do a 100th episode special, but Emmy fought me on it. So here we are.
Fought you how?
You didn't want to have a special 100th episode.
Oh, but
because we planned, and it just so happened that this is Spider-Man 2, which is another fantastic second movie, just like, you guessed it, Iron Man 2. two.
All right, so
I think I heard a couple more groans.
I not for me. I was laughing. I thought that was fun.
I wasn't.
So Rotten Tomatoes.
What do you guys think? Got to hand it over to y'all.
84%.
Okay.
I'm going to say there are some outdated things in this one. However, this movie is fantastic. I really, really love this movie, and I thought I was going to pick apart it when rewatching it. I still love it. So I'm going to go high here. I'm going to go 93%.
Ew. Brandon, you're right. Critics gave it a 93%.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. Audiences gave it.
He looked it up.
82.
I swear I never do.
So Clinton was really close. He said 84. So 82 is really close to Clinton's guess with audiences.
Okay.
IMDb is at a 7.3. Get us together, IMDb.
What the fuck, man? And
85% of Google users liked it. It was also sent to theaters under the name Spray Paint to discourage pirators.
Wow, that really is going to discourage them. What the fuck? Anyway, yeah. Oh, yeah, they said spray paint. We shouldn't pirate this. Oh, yeah, you're right.
I didn't think pirates had spray paint on ships.
We're going to spray paint our names on the side of the boat, see?
You don't get to facepalm. You say Iron Man 2 constantly.
Oh, now it's brought up again.
That time, that's third.
100 episodes.
No, Brandon, don't encourage it.
You did it the third time. You need to stop. It's going to be brought up 100 times in this
podcast. No, it's not, guys. It's not. I'll shut it down.
All right.
I've already exhausted all the different ways that I was going to bring it up. Honestly, I thought I was only going to get to two.
So honestly, I'm pretty stoked to hear it was that high. And I'll be honest with you. Years ago, I looked up Spider-Man Rotten Tomatoes, and I remember this one being in the 90s. So I will say that I did not know it was 93. I just knew it was in the 90s from years back looking it up. So I'm really, really pumped that it's still that high. I think it's, yeah, like I said, some things are dated, but Doc Ock is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I think honestly, what better place to start with this movie then obviously the big casting, the big villain, the big everything in this one, and the practical effects. Everything works for Doc Ock.
Clinton. Except the CG of his body. They may have practically used his arms, but his body in those high action scenes didn't date well.
I was able to overlook that.
I overlooked it, but I noticed it this time. This movie for me, were you about to call on me to what my thoughts?
Yeah. Alfred Molina as Doc Ock. What was your thoughts? But if you want to expound upon something else as well, go for it.
Yeah. 100% stole the scene every time he was in it. I think he is the casting in this movie. I watched this. There's a couple things I have noted about. Hannah was here watching it with me. So I've got to give her some of her dialogue in this movie. It was pretty hilarious. So I have to credit her in parts of this review, but Doc Ock was hands down, but there's a lot of hands in his character. First, also she said that she's like, it's four, why is he Doc Ock? I was like, well, first of all, it's Octavius, but if you count his arms and legs, it's
his arms and legs is makes it, yes, it's his limbs.
She said, that's fair, I'll give you that.
Yeah,
but I like this movie overall. There are a few things in this movie that are glaring to me that annoy me, but overall I thought this movie was great, even rewatching it. So it's a fun time. Mostly Tobey Maguire ruins it, but it's a fun time overall.
You're still stuck on Tobey Maguire.
I'm still watching a Tobey Maguire Spider-Man
I know
movie.
That but like you're still Emmy, what was your thoughts on Doc Ock and overall thoughts on Spider-Man 2?
Okay, overall thoughts. I remember when this movie came out, I absolutely loved this movie because of the angst of loving someone who doesn't love you back. This just forbidden, unrequited. That was 2004. It would have been my sophomore year of high school. I had just witnessed, experienced my first heartbreak. Jason, it's okay. I know what you look like now.
Does his last name start with an L?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Oh,
that was
wow.
my first heartbreak. And then
I had no idea.
He got together with one of my best friends from middle school, and like they were a couple for forever.
Does her name start with an M?
Uh-huh.
And I know this. Oh,
married
my God.
To somebody. Yeah. I was absolutely head over heels in love with him.
But did you dodge a bullet?
Probably.
Okay.
I think that he definitely wanted kids, and I definitely do not. But we were in high school, so we weren't thinking about all that now. Well, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, high school, you're overly stupid.
Maybe yes. One day we'll be.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if people did talk about that shit in high school.
He married the girl that he was dating when we graduated. He's married to her now.
Yep. True story.
Anyway. So, yes. So that really hit home to me. Of course, watching it back, it was kind of like, ooh, that's a little bit cringe. I think I've evolved a little bit as a female and as a human.
Yep.
And so it wasn't quite, it didn't hit quite the same note with me.
Hard damsel in distress mode in this.
Oh, my God. Right.
Yes.
Real hard.
There is one moment where she does grab a pole and try to hit him with it, but it backfires.
You know who wasn't a damsel in distress, though? Aunt May.
Yes, she was.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was. She got thrown around, and then all of a sudden she's on an umbrella hook and she's like,
but also she whacked him with that umbrella hook. She's like, what did she say when she did it? How dare you?
The audacity.
That was the audacity.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But yeah, so watching it this time, it was a little bit different. But let me tell you, Doc Ock, I don't think when I watched it the first time, I didn't understand him as well. And watching it this time, which I haven't probably seen this movie since high school, watching it this time, it was like, wow.
Yeah.
He's a very good character.
God, he really is.
And I really want to punch myself in high school for being like, it's such a romantic movie. Like, no, that's a great villain.
Doc Ock steals this movie entirely. Mm. This movie is easily the best out of the trilogy.
100%.
I mean, I've seen Spider-Man 3 recently, so I can comment saying I'm not a big fan of that one. So if you like Spider-Man 3, you probably shouldn't listen to our next podcast. It's going to be Venom, Let There Be Carnage levels. But I will say Spider-Man 1 was good. This is fantastic. And Alfred Molina as Doc Ock is the biggest reason why. He is almost relatable in a weird way, you know, and just it was just how you lose yourself in your work sometimes and you devote yourself so much and you almost get overly confident in yourself and your work and not accepting the advice of others. It's a very vulnerable character in a lot of ways. And in every scene he's in, he's stealing it. His performance is not, it's not campy. It's not 2004 Spy. It is raw and real and heartfelt. And it's still amazing. And the fact that, and I love that we're reviewing these movies because Spider-Man No Way Home, we got to see Molina's reveal. If there is any villain out of all five Spider-Man movies, the original trilogy and Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2 with Garfield, if you said, what villain would you take from, I think we would all probably say, hands down, Doc Ock. I mean, the fact that he's in this, hello, Peter, I just cannot wait. Molina deserves this. He deserves to be in this big, huge Marvel Cinematic Universe and to be bridging this gap. I'm so pumped. And just watching this again, I was so happy with how much of it still was good. How much was still really, really fantastic. That's a good feeling. A lot of these movies you go back and you watch and you're like, oh, it's not aged well at all. This one has. And I'm really, really happy about that. Yeah.
Their budget went up a lot for the second one. It was tied with the most money behind it as Titanic.
Wow.
Wow.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Which you can tell in the CGI. It got better.
I thought the CGI was really good. Yeah.
I do. On paper, if you spell it out, D-O-C-O-C, do you put it, is it Doc Ock or Dukok?
Dukok.
Okay, I thought it was Dukok. Can we refer to him as Dukok the rest of the
episode? Yeah, exactly. Like, have you ever had a Mountain Dew that you just want to suck so bad? It's like, Mountain Dukok. Yeah, you know, yeah, it's great.
Or do you just want to Dukok?
I think it's O-C-K, too. I think it's Doc Ock. I think it's OCK.
So Dukok.
OC. But either way, it might. Dukok.
It's like the Dukok song.
Dukak me.
Do you guys want to hear some fun facts about the practical effects that it took to make these arms?
Of course.
Okay. First of all, I think it's absolutely adorable that Alfred Molina named all of his arms.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. Larry, Harry, Mo, and Flo.
I love you, Molina. God, sorry.
Flo was the one that like took his glasses off and like held his drink. Like it was the more, probably a little misogynistic, but like the more maternal, like, so like he gave it a feminine name.
Not maternal. I mean, misogynistic.
I was thinking like Mo was like of Three Stooges. I was not thinking it was maternal at all.
Flo.
Oh, I thought you said Mo. Sorry.
Like Florence.
Excuse me, Flo. Yeah. You know, like Flo, like the TV show.
I think right. Progressive when I hear Flo.
I do too.
Oh gosh, those commercials have ruined me. Sorry, go on.
So each of those arms, how many people do you think it took to
At least four.
Each well, arm.
At least each one. Arm. At least one.
Math.
Double down.
Math.
Go ahead.
Oh, I want to guess. I want to say 20 overall, so 5 per arm.
It took 4 people per arm, so 16. Oh,
close. Okay, that's awesome though.
Each arm weighed 15 pounds, so that's 60 pounds altogether.
Oh, that's not that bad.
I'm shocked it's actually that light. It looks a lot. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, and then the whole gear that Alfred Molina had to wear, like including the backpack and all that, or whatever that thing was, all of it was 75 pounds total.
Ooh.
Jeez, that's not light for the long recording days. So.
Excuse me. And that final scene took 8 days to film.
Wow.
Like the big.
Wow. Yeah. I will say they were a fan of fighting on the side of buildings in this movie.
And I liked it though. I'm sorry.
Me too. Every time they're fighting in this movie, it was still good.
The
still
subway good. Or the you know I
yeah the train and the side me. Of the building.
It was both, awesome.
Yeah, and I noted this. One thing I liked, and this is such a silly thing to notice. Mm-hmm. One thing I really liked about this is that they really show the elasticity of his web. Like it feels like it's real web when he's swinging and when he swings, but also when he like throws something back at Doc Ock, it like there's that give.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
It looked a lot better. I feel like in this one too, it like caught the light a little bit. It was a little shiny. That's a really a little good point. Reflective.
Hannah said it looked like slime when on the subway, when it shows it real up close, when it's stuck to stuff, it just looks like slime. But
It looked like, not like slime, like fishing line, I thought. Like a whole bunch of fishing line together.
Yeah, that's fair too.
I could totally see that, for sure.
Brandon, do we have an overview of the movie?
Oh, gosh. The overview of the movie is Doc Ock is awesome.
Do you have an overview?
Spider-Man. He does whatever a spider can. And then Doc Ock comes, and he's got more arms. No, he tries to fuck up all the shit. It's look out.
Here comes the Spider-Man.
It's look out.
Well, I mean, in this movie, we do see Spider-Man continue to grow and we continue to build and also kind of mature a little bit and get put in his place. I was actually pretty happy about the very last line by Kirsten Dunst, or one of the very last lines of MJ. Like, I can make decisions for myself. Who the hell are you?
Yes, girl.
I mean, honestly, I was waiting for it the entire movie. And when she said it, I was like, oh, thank God. I didn't remember if she said it or it was in my mind that she said it.
Same. But, listen. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Go for it.
Okay. When they showed her boyfriend, I was like, am I crazy? Why do I think he's an astronaut? And then later it's like, oh, he's an astronaut. And I was like,
he is. Oh,
I'm glad that I wasn't crazy. But there for a minute, I was like,
right.
Why do I want him to be an astronaut so bad? He also looked really familiar. He's from the Originals, which is a spinoff of Vampire Diaries. Mm-hmm. He played Elijah Michelson. His name is Daniel Gillies.
I did not know that.
Oh, fine.
Nice. So yeah, I just really think this was all about, you know, Spider-Man continuing to wrestle with this new found identity of being Spider-Man. He, you know, he's still struggling between the life he wants, and his personal life is struggling. I mean, he's late to class,
back to back.
Yeah, he's late to work. He can't make
it too thin.
I love the pizza where it's Bleecker Street, which is the same street that Doctor Strange is on.
I caught that. No, it's the same address. It's 223 Bleecker Street.
I thought it was
really. And they confirmed that with he's already
in this universe. We have a Doctor Strange. Yes. And I just absolutely love that, you know, he goes through these hard times and you feel for him. You really do. And he's, because it's like anything. You devote your time to one thing, you're sacrificing the time from something else. And that's just how it works. You know, you take a couple hours away from something, something else is not going to have that full attention that it needs, or, you know, and his personal life is taking a hit. And throughout this entire struggle, you can see that, man, do I even want to be Spider-Man? And he gives it up for a time or two. And you can't blame him. Genuinely, you can't, because the Daily Bugle is writing horrible things about him. He is not being seen in this amazing light, no pun intended. He's constantly fighting and wrestling. You know, what's the point? What am I doing this for? I'm giving up everything I want and I love for this. And is that who I want to be? Is this who I want to be? Or do I want to live my life the way?
That's how I feel with this podcast, really. Oh, now that you talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. And so
that's how I feel about my job.
No, yeah, exactly. It's our
that's
job.
That's why I need this podcast to take off.
Yeah, I think the podcast is actually the Spider-Man trope. So,
just kidding. I do. I love my job.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding too. I love this podcast.
Yeah.
But, wink.
And I would love 5 days. 5 day weekend.
But I think it's really relatable in a weird way, as you guys both said with your jobs.
Or adulting sucks.
Yeah, like it really does. And through it all, he finds out the answer of what he wants to be. He wants to be Spider-Man. He wants to do good, because underneath all of it, he's a good human being. He's a good person, you know, and it shines, it comes through. And I think he realizes the real ones are going to be there regardless of where your time is spent. And it was kind of a cool, beautiful thing that he figures out throughout this. And all while this story of him finding himself and becoming Spider-Man is Doc Ock in the background looming. And it's a fantastic villain. It's not this throwaway character, you know, and when he's not appearing, he's looming somewhere in the background and he makes these surprise appearances. I think that's why this movie works. He's so relatable as a hero. He's so relatable as a human being. And Doc Ock is one of the greatest villains we've ever seen on the big screen. So,
but it's happy fantastic. They tied Doc Ock to Peter.
Mm-hmm.
As someone, an understudy, because I like the way that story,
the relationship
with Doc, with Doc Ock, because he's not a bad guy, he's a great scientist,
mm-hmm.
And then
he's taken over,
yeah,
right. And that's what makes him so sympathetic, almost.
Yes. So I like that they built a little bit of a relationship with him before he turns villain. He's not just like a bad guy coming out of the woodwork, like mm-hmm. You know. So I enjoyed that aspect of it a lot.
And even the end when he's sacrificing himself, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a really beautiful climax to this.
Well, you know,
I mean, he's not just like, I'm evil and I'm going to take over and blah, blah, blah. It's like, I've got to do what's right at the end. And I thought that was a unique way to finish it. And Clinton, you're kind of, what do you think, man?
I just felt rushed to me because he's this bad guy the whole time because mm-hmm. the arms are controlling him.
Right. He can basically gain control of him.
A 30-second speech. He's like, oh, wait, I'm not a bad guy anymore. Let me do this.
Right.
That's Spider-Man. And Spider-Man just trusts him to do it. He's like, okay.
They got damaged a lot whenever he got electrocuted.
Well, they did, but they were still there.
They were still there, but I think that they took a hit. And that was why.
That's fair.
That's a good point, Emmy. Good
that
point.
Works.
That's how I took it this time.
That will work. I'll take that.
I like that. But yeah, I just thought that was such a unique ending too, in a good way, where it's not this villain's like, I'm going to take over. Like, oh, he fell into a trap and now he explodes. Bye. There it is. Like, he's like, you know, and it just is so, it's such a good way to end. I really enjoyed that. I thought it flipped the normal script on its head. It wasn't just like, I don't know. It was, it just made you sympathize for him more, and it made him a better villain, in my opinion.
Did y'all notice how many girls scream in this movie?
I wrote that down.
Too many.
So did I.
There is so, and it's not just one scene. It's so many scenes. No,
all throughout the movie, just girls screaming.
And I tried to be like, is it just that they're higher pitched that I'm noticing them? The guys will do like a,
yeah, but it's not as common. It's not as common.
There's like four of those, but there's like 15 women who scream.
I would say more than that.
Spider-Man 2, Scream Queens.
Scream Queens. Yeah, it's a lot. And
you get it. You get it. You get it.
I get it.
And also,
I didn't like it.
Speaking of screaming women, we got to bring it up again. MJ, more damsel in distress. every second. It's the same thing we had. If we're going to talk about the great things in this movie, Doc Ock is a huge one. We've got it like MJ, no growth at all. Same, just like, I don't know. Besides the very end where she says, you know, I can make a decision for myself, which I loved. Besides that, she's just screaming.
I'm gonna combat you on that though. Mm-mm. Because she didn't make that decision until her flipping wedding day. Girl, sort yourself out. Do not agree to marry somebody in retaliation against another guy who you actually have feelings for. Don't toy with his emotions. She sent him a note. Like, you couldn't have like gone to him in person and said, hey, I'm so sorry it took me this long to realize, but it just, the whole thing really.
Yeah. Rubbed you the wrong way a little bit.
Yeah. And you said, yes, of course. I'm thankful that she had growth. Cause he's like, I can't let you take that risk. Like, first of all, who are you to tell me what I can and cannot do?
That shit pissed me off.
Strong, independent female.
Yeah. And I think
it's no man.
Yeah. Oh.
But like, also she shouldn't have let that relationship run its course as long as it did. Him at the altar.
I think what drugged this movie down, if I had to call out anything, it was the MJ and Peter Parker part of it. It was,
yes.
Yeah.
It was too much. It was too, and then it was back and forth and back and forth. She felt away and then he didn't. And then he hid it from her. And then he tells her when she's ready, finally. It was just too overdone. It was just like the narrative didn't, it stood out to me. Like it was just too, like they were forcing it into the movie. It's how it felt for me.
But high school me was like,
but this is college.
I
love
this movie. I know. Okay. But high
school, I thought you meant, like, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
This is love. This is the way it's supposed to be, volatile and a roller coaster. It's probably why I'm single.
It was projected that way by Hollywood at the time. I feel like there was always this push pull thing, but it was just exhausting.
It was excruciating. Especially,
every time it was just them together by themselves.
And they'd be in the coffee shop and it's like, do you love me? And he's like, no. And then it was like, I'm like, what?
What? Yeah, exactly.
What are you doing?
She's ready now. And now
he's not ready.
He's
not ready. She is. She's ready.
Exactly.
He's not. It was just this weird, like, oh my God. And then at the very end, awesome. Go get him, Tiger. Cool. But then there's this weird scene where she's just staring on at the end where she's like, almost like,
what the hell have I done?
Yeah. Thank you, Emmy. Thank you. That's exactly what I was thinking. She was like, fuck. Like, that's the thought I had. So I'm glad someone else thought the same thing.
She also goes to his door. Okay. Cause I'm sorry. I do feel like I'm picking this apart out a little bit. And I think
MJ,
this relationship part is annoying.
Yeah. The whole movie. What we're talking about, guys.
Yeah.
I think this part of it is that I'm angry at how much high school me like was like, wow. Okay.
You're just real jealous that Kirsten Dunst got to kiss Tobey Maguire, aren't you?
Honestly, no.
That was so weird when she was like, kiss me upside down so I can make sure that you're not Spider-Man. I'm like,
I didn't realize that's how you were supposed to find a husband.
Yeah.
Is that how you're supposed to? Nobody can kiss upside down well.
And he's like, oh, I guess I'm back. Does that mean he has a boner? Because he's like, I guess I'm back on the moon now. I'm like,
do you think that?
What? Is that a euphemism for boner? What is that?
Do you think that Buzz Aldrin and I get all of the Armstrongs mixed up? Neil Armstrong.
Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah. Do you think they had boners when they took one small step for man?
I'd be taking one giant leap.
One giant boner.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, how cool would it be to say you got a boner in space? Like, that would be rad. I would totally be down for that.
You know who just did that? William Shatner.
Yeah! William Shatner with the first boner in space.
Oh my God. The whole play, the whole play part was annoying to me because she's super salty about this play. And I get like he's let her down and all this. But also, why didn't Peter be like, hey, I was there. They just wouldn't let me in. Like
he saw her with the boyfriend. They were making out outside and he was like, I'm not going to interrupt that. And
yes, but when he calls her later, he doesn't even tell her he was there. He says, I'm sorry, I disappointed you again. He doesn't even bring up he was like, I'm sorry, I couldn't be. Like, he doesn't say, I was there, but they wouldn't let me in.
I mean, honestly, as someone who's late, it's too little too late. Hold on. I did have a point, though. Okay, the end of the movie, she walks up to his door in her wedding dress, left this guy at the altar. And like, yay, she's going to stand up for herself. And one of the first things that she says is, I can't survive without you.
But that's pretty fucking accurate with this movie because he saves her ass 1,700 times.
Which also, speaking of which, there's this huge building on him and she's like just laying there. And he's like, this is pretty heavy. I'm like, yeah, and do something.
Yeah, she just falls at the end.
Something. Just staring up at him drove me up the wall. I'm like, please move. Do something. At least make an attempt. And she's just laying there like, and I'm like, oh my God, you are not this useless. You are not.
That part was really annoying.
I couldn't stand that. I was screaming at my TV.
We made jokes about it when we were watching the end when she says, I can't survive without you. And we were all like, no shit.
No, we all
because
know
that. He saved your ass 3 times just in this movie. And she's going to be a pain in the ass when she gets pregnant. And she's going to want him to do everything like, oh, you run here for me. And
yeah.
And he'll be like, I've got to go do this. She'll be like, just use your web. Can you imagine how like needy she is for him?
MJ and this.
Why are you assuming when she gets pregnant? What if her life plan doesn't include children, Clinton?
Ooh. Well, maybe it don't. My point is that how if she's this dependent on him now, when they're together for a long period of time and married, she's going to be a clinger.
Yeah. No, this movie,
that was my point.
MJ is the biggest glaring. This is a movie from 2004. You know what I mean? Like she immediately, like it's irritating watching her because she can't do it. Like the director loves having her not be able to do shit. Like, it's just like, how can we make MJ completely pointless? Here it is. You know, like, and maybe that's how the comics were. I get that. She was a damsel in distress. I get that. It doesn't make it hard. It doesn't make it easy to watch. It doesn't. It's not aged well. I don't care if it's comics, movies, whatever. It's not aged well. I can't stand this. I can't do shit without someone else immediately helping me.
Okay, I'm going to play Mephisto's advocate here, though. I do see that they were taking steps to move in the correct direction. I do feel like they were like, hey, look, she's going to go and be like, you can't tell me what I can and can't do. I'm going to take the risk and I want to take it on with you.
I know.
But I feel like where it suffered was that it was a strong female character that was not written by a female. I feel like they possibly, and I'm not completely sure, but didn't have enough female voices in the writer's room to be like, actually, this is not the way that a female would behave.
I could totally say that.
Well, and it's a different time too. We're watching this now and voices have gotten heard finally and things are slowly, slowly starting to change. But we're looking at it from our perspective now into this time, and they didn't care as much then.
In 2004,
unfortunately.
2004, I was down for this shit. I was all about it. Like, I didn't even bat an eye. So yeah, I would agree
with
that.
You didn't pay attention to it.
Right. It did not annoy me.
Because that was the time, and no one.
And it's
everyone
amazing.
Was okay. Yeah, I'm glad we've came as far as we have, honestly.
What literally 17 years can do. So anyway, Amy, go on. Sorry.
Okay, so I'm going to segue here.
Segway.
Speaking of the time, the subway scene, or not, it's not a subway.
Should have said, I'm going to subway here.
It's a
but
train.
It's not a subway, it's a train.
It's a train. I did the same thing earlier.
Choo choo, bitches.
Choo choo.
So when he is unmasked and they're carrying him, first of all, emotional, but like that would not fly now. That would be on Facebook
cell phone.
Live in a second.
Yes. I was thinking the same exact thing. I thought it was emotional. I thought it was a beautiful scene. Almost kind of talking about how New York, you know, it felt like a New York comment, like, we're here for you. We've got your back. go do your thing, man. And I loved it. But exactly,
the neighborhood Spider-Man kind of
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. Yes. But to Emmy's point, I thought the same exact thing. I was like, nowadays,
sure.
We
that's
have
not going to fly.
Literally, Kalik right in your face. Boom. Would not fly. But it was nice seeing a different time and not having to worry about that. So I watched
the train scene this time, no one is panicked.
The
when
people
he's
were up
at
front
the front, they're just like, are you gonna fucking do it?
Somebody's like, you got any other bright ideas?
Yeah. And he's like,
they're
yeah,
just calm
and
he's like, shit.
I have a few. And I'm like, why the fuck is everyone such a dick? Like, I could not stand that. And then
Riding
when like all these
a lot.
And then when he's
places.
Like holding the spider webs and he's like, and it's starting to collapse in the front. Oh, God. There's all these old fucks in the front of the train. I'm like, go
run to the back. Yes.
Go to the back. What are you doing? You know, it's slow enough. Maybe where you can jump out. I don't know. They're like,
and then
right
even
in the front of the damn train,
even
what are you doing,
even when it's saved and it's hanging off the edge, they don't go to like, no
That's
one's trying
I mean.
To get out.
That's
no
where I was at. Yeah. I just like some things like it's like what the fuck are you
and he doing? Said oh boy a lot in this and it
oh,
bothered
boy.
Me oh boy bad oh, writing and the faces he makes this is
I was
don't
just
like
gonna
Tobey
say
Maguire.
That
I can't help it when he's Peter when I see him out of the Spider-Man suit I cannot get on board even when he was on the roof running and he was like trying to get his power back
that,
which also
that.
Is makes no sense to me so no. He just lost his power because of stress I don't know. Anyway,
it was erectile dysfunction.
Dysfunction. Which was
arachnid.
It just it felt weird that he lost his powers for no reason.
Can I say something super random and out of nowhere, please?
Yes.
Mr. Ditkovich is one of my favorites.
It's actually Ditkovich.
That's what I said.
Steve Ditko.
I did not know that.
You're
but
right.
I love him in this. He's so stupid. He's like, where's my rent? Like, just and he's like without his pants and he goes and pulls him up and like his daughter's looking. It's weird. I don't know. It was really funny. I enjoyed it quite a
Did
bit.
Did you see how gross that apartment was too? Like,
yeah,
it should have been condemned.
Well, that's why he needs his rent so he can get some renovations in that shit.
No, I doubt he's getting renovations.
Think that's happening.
You know what? You don't know. You don't know. He doesn't have his rent. He can't do it.
But so. Emmy faces. His faces are rough to watch.
But okay, I will say that right before I turned 30, I posted that gif of like me hanging on to my 20s.
Yes.
A lot of memes and gifs came from this movie.
From all of these Spider-Man. The
J. Jonah
Spider-Man.
Jameson laughing meme movie.
That made me bust out laughing watching it. Where he's like, I don't want to be paid in advance. And when he just loses his shit and starts laughing, I laughed out loud. He's so good.
I still love him in this movie.
J.K. Simmons, please take my money. Be J. Jonah Jameson until the rest of your days. I will be fine with it. Even if he's in a quick segment, every MCU movie, I need him. But he was wonderful. Still wonderful.
I think that another really cringy part, and I know we've kind of moved on from this relationship, but at the very end of the movie, when Peter, Spider-Man, builds that little web, and he like crawls down it to MJ.
Mm-hmm. Who has her dress really hiked up quite a bit. I won't lie. That was kind of weird. Sorry.
I mean, it's part of the mating dance of spiders. Did you not know that?
Yeah, but I was wondering why her... Anyway, that it was just weird. She was, like, so down with it. She's like, all right, here you go.
Whenever he gets to her, I feel like he, like, pauses for a second and is like, look what I made with my butt string. And I feel like that's what spiders do. He just seems really, really...
See what
I
made
know.
With my butt string.
That's something that an actual spider said. Did you catch Stan Lee?
Yes. It was so quick. He didn't have a speaking part. It was like debris was falling or some shit. It like there was something going on and he was like helping someone get out of the way. And that was it.
I literally missed it and had to go back and re-find it.
I thought I missed him speaking and then I rewinded it and I was like, no, he just is getting people out of the way. He is not speaking at all in this and that sucks.
Okay, I will say that his cameo was supposed to be, he stole that guy's pizza at the beginning. but it had to be reshot. Something happened in the background and it had to be reshot. They couldn't get Stanley. And so it should have been that. And I'm really pissed. That
sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've got to say, and I know we don't like talking about this person and I understand, but I'm going to bring it up because it's one of my least favorite. There's so many good things about this movie. Honestly, there really is. But I'm going to get one big gripe out of my way too. James Franco as Harry Osborn. I could not stand Harry Osborn in this movie. I couldn't stand him because it was the same damn line said 30 different ways. And it's just like,
wait till I tell my father. All right, yeah, Draco. Yeah,
it's like,
calm down.
I'm going to get Spider-Man back. This is not about Spider-Man, Harry. You know, it's like every time he's on, he's unbearable. I know he's drinking. I know he's slowly losing his mind. I know he's grieving. I get that. But God, besides the very first scene, he has zero depth. He is zero. He's literally like, I need to get back Spider. Really?
Over really? And over.
That's not one time does it cross your mind your dad might have been a crazy fuck. Does it ever maybe kind of slowly sink in? I know it's your father. I get it. And I'm not trying to be a dickhead, but it's just like.
But sometimes dads are not good.
Right. It can happen. I don't know. Ask Amy and I. It's just, it blows my mind that it's like, Spider-Man's a piece of shit and I'm going to get him back. I'm like, fuck, dude. Like, it. Is exhausting. It's
every scene. There's no depth to his character.
Nothing. Yeah. And James Franco, quite frankly, I don't care what he's done or what he hasn't done.
Quite frankly.
Honestly, he's a shitty actor, in my opinion. I don't care for him. He is just not good.
And he's the same in every movie, too.
Yes. In this movie, it was so hard. Every single time he was in the movie, it was just so hard to get behind his character or understand the motive. It was just like, can you say something else? Can you do something else? Can you make a story progress a little bit? I guess with the Doc Ock thing, I guess that's kind of how he ended up playing a bigger role. But still, it was like, I still need to kill Spider-Man. And then he gets his Ninja Turtle freaking, you know, Raphael, you know, little sheath. Yeah, and he starts to like, I'm going to stab him. Oh, it's, oh my God, the one guy who seems to disappear every time Spider-Man shows up. It's really you. It just was so,
especially when it's the people close to him that are around him in these public environments and they're gone.
Oh
and
my like, God.
Aunt May didn't put it together.
No, I think she did. I think that whole her monologue. Speech.
Yes, was definitely.
That's true. She did say
that. I would agree with
Aunt,
that.
When Aunt May starts crying to give him birthday money.
Oh, almost had
me
scene.
It almost had me cry.
And she's like, don't you dare give it back because I am so upset that I can't even give you more than this or something.
It reminds me and I'm gonna try not to get too sad real quick, but it reminds me of my mom in a way of like, even if she was struggling, because Peter knew she was struggling because he saw the past due stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't matter what my mom was going through.
Right.
She would be like, no, this is for you. This you're my son and mm-hmm. I love you and you're going to take this. Like, it doesn't matter what I'm dealing with. Mm-hmm. You're going to take this. So it hit me harder, I guess, because I've been through a similar thing with that when dad passed and mom gave me my Christmas gifts. I've told you all that story. Regardless of where she was at, she's still going to make sure the person she cares about is taken care of. And that part was sad and sweet at the same time.
Yeah,
I teared up a little bit.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful scene.
I also thought, though, maybe Spider-Man needs to either start charging people for saving them.
Oh,
start a Patreon.
Patreon.com/Spider-Man. I will save you if you subscribe. Here's my number.
Get a burner phone. There's no shame in moving back home. Like, there's no shame. Obviously, yeah, that's a shitty apartment. He didn't
do that.
I did it after college. I mean,
well, there was parts in this movie I was like, oh yeah, he don't live with her, and I'm like, why don't he live with her? He's struggling financially, and they can help each other
exactly. Yeah. And she says, I'm lonely. I mean, it would have made a lot more sense in my opinion had they just lived together.
They just wanted to highlight he was older now, I think, but he was in college and he was living on his own and they wanted to highlight his struggle. They do a good job in this movie highlighting his struggle and his responsibility juggling Spider-Man. They did show how nerdy he was pretty well in this movie.
Okay, but like if it's an easy, if there's something logically, that could be a solution, I feel like I'm going to take that out of the mix and I don't feel sorry for you for that anymore, you know?
Yeah. Aunt May asleep at the table.
Oh, that was...
That was me when I wouldn't finish my vegetables when I was little. Dad was like, you need to finish it before you get up off the table. All right, guess I'm sleeping here tonight.
I have a vivid memory when I realized that I could, like, if I had to finish my milk, which, don't get me started. I don't understand why we drink cow's milk. It's weird.
Oh, I love milk.
And I love sucking on cow's udders. So, yeah.
I like boobs.
Okay, anyway. So I always had to finish my milk. And so I have a vivid memory of one night I realized that I could just keep being like, whoopsie, and just spill my milk and I wouldn't have to drink it. And so I spent probably like 20 napkins and just a whole bunch of, oh, whoopsie do.
I wish we could have known each other as children and podcasted like one episode of 10-year-old us. And just listen to us because I think we'd be pretty fucking funny.
So, my dad would.
Guys, I got a hack right now. Listen, but I was an idiot. Like I wouldn't just dump the whole thing out and be like, "Uh oh."
You had to play it out. You had to.
Like,
20 minutes.
I knocked it with my hand.
My dad would make us finish everything on the plate, whether we liked it or not, which is not to me is not cool to do, and. So I hated corn when I was little. And so I would literally with corn, I like it now, but I would gag when I would eat corn. I would, I would use my milk to wash it down. And then my dad caught on to that. He was like, you can only have 2 glasses of milk per meal. And I was like, son of a bitch, he's on to me. So I guess I just am sleeping at the dinner table. Now I'm not joking when I say me and my sister both have fallen asleep at the dinner table because dad said we could not get up until we finished our meal.
Oh,
and we would go to sleep at the table.
Fuck, man. That's
was that adorable thing though, where you like fall asleep at the dinner table and then like you wake up in your bed and you're like, oh
no. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they wouldn't like,
I love it. He was like, no, I woke up and there was still corn in front of me.
It probably makes it sound like I had cruel parents.
I had they corn were in my nose.
I hated corn so bad. I don't know corn. Why.
Yeah. I used to hate peas, and now peas are fine. I don't like green beans still. That's always
I like green beans.
I like green beans. Peas, I'm not a fan of still.
I used to like mayonnaise. Hate it now.
I like a little. It's like rattlesnake venom to me. Just a dab will do you. I don't like mayonnaise. Like a lot of it.
Hate mustard. Despise it. Wish it was off the face of the earth.
Who?
Oh, it depends on what it's on.
I was talking to
anything vinegar. I hate. I also hate pickles.
Oh, pickles!
Mustard? What?
What do you mean? Even vinegar? Dill?
Vinegar.
Wait. Okay, wait.
We've discussed this, guys.
You hate pickles. Do you like olives?
Yes.
Okay, what the fuck? We would be the perfect match because I love pickles and hate olives, and that's like a thing. That's
balanced as all things should be.
Oh, I hate olives and I like dill pickles. Like I don't like bread and butter pickles, but I like dill.
I told you guys I didn't know till a couple years ago that pickles were cucumbers soaked in vinegar. Remember?
I think that you made
because I never
from the actual
I never
podcast.
Ate them.
Yeah, you actually made us trim that, and now we're so open. We're like 100 episodes. Here's our pickle conversation.
I don't care
that we edited out. 100
episode exclusive.
Our pickle conversation. Our hot takes on pickles.
I swear, we edited this shit out. This was like,
I don't know that you did.
Yeah, you told me to. You're like, can you edit that out, please? Edit. You asked me to, and I did.
I must have brought it up a long time ago.
You did, like episode 3, maybe.
Okay, so maybe I cared then more about what people thought. I don't know.
I've discovered a weird thing. I was talking to my mom about this. That, ketchup and mustard, I love both. I love to eat both. But if I smell either of them after I've eaten it, oh my God. I have to like wash my hands. I have to like, if I've gotten it on my shirt, I have to change shirts. It smells
like nasty feet or something. I don't know. Ooh. And I kind of contradict myself because I hate vinegar, but mustard has it. So does ketchup. And I love ketchup.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. It's funny. Mustard, I don't hate. I like mustard like corn dogs. Like corn dogs, I can eat like mustard and ketchup and stuff like that. But it's weird. Like on a burger, I don't want mustard on it. Like, I don't know. Some people, I don't know. Anyway, it depends on what it's on.
I forgot that Bruce Campbell was in this too.
Yes, sure is.
Bruce Campbell. Who that is? Bruce Campbell. Spanish.
He's the piece of shit usher that's like, he's like, hey, you can't come in because the doors are shut. He's
who they made look huge. Like the camera trick that they used there was pretty, pretty awesome.
Yeah, he was big, but he's like
and Sam Raimi have a history together. That's why he's in this. I think wasn't he in the first one too? And I forgot to bring it up.
A romantic history?
No. Evil Dead, I think, is the right movie. There's so many zombie dead movies.
Remember him in the first Spider-Man. Am I crazy? I can look it up.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like he was in it too. I could be wrong.
That you brought it up. I did. You did say something about Sam Raimi being in horror movies, and I asked about it.
Yes, and Sam Raimi was over those old horror movies, and Bruce Campbell was in on this as well.
No, he's not in the first
Spider-Man. Not okay. No. So maybe I dreamed that.
Yeah, but he is in the second.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of though, the play that MJ is in is The Importance of Being Earnest by Oscar Wilde. Do you guys have any idea what that's about?
No clue. No idea. She can't remember her line as soon as Peter shows up.
Show up.
Oh, yeah, she just goes completely stupid, either looking at an empty seat or a full seat. Yeah.
Peter will do that to you.
Sometimes that Peter will do it. Peter will. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, The Importance of Being Earnest. Earnest is a synonym for honest, right? And right. So this play, I read a synopsis because I haven't actually seen it. I haven't actually read it. Spoiler alert, just letting you know.
Right.
That I haven't seen it or watched it. But I read a synopsis and it's this guy who goes to another guy's house to try to marry his like cousin or something. And then the other guy, but he's living a double life. So like he goes to this guy's house and says, hi, my name is Ernest. But then the guy whose name is Algernon realizes that his actual name is Jack. And so like he's living this double life the whole time. And so then Algernon goes to Jack's house and ends up with his cousin. It's a wild story, honestly.
Fuck, man, my brain just, wow. Sorry.
But so Jack is adopted and they don't know his backstory, but then they figure it out in the play and his actual name is Ernest. And the women in this whole thing, all of them are like, well, I just really like the name Ernest. Anyway, it's a wild story, honestly. Wow. Read the Wikipedia page. It's weird. It is about living a double life, so it fits.
Sure.
That was the whole point of that.
We love Doc Ock in this, but we haven't talked about his scenes a lot.
Yeah.
The scene where he's showing the experiment and the arms attached to him.
Yeah.
Oh man, the needles all up the spine.
All up the spine, and
more
also
science.
And also seeing Rosie pass away, his love that they really cleverly introduced earlier in the movie, you know, and how she passes and basically he's the cause without, you know,
the glass trick.
Yeah.
The glass.
I did think the glass looked like shitty CG. I won't lie. That was noticeable to me. But I will say it was still powerful when she passed. I thought it was really traumatic. I thought it was really terrifying. Like how he's, you know, now he's a man without any conscience. And it was really, really, I love that scene. I really love how he becomes Doc Ock.
Yeah, I do too. That didn't give a lot of weight for me because I didn't know her character. So I wasn't
you didn't
given a full story of them or anything. So just felt like a motivator for him a little bit. And
you
I was
didn't
like,
really get to know her. And then also the whole line that if you want a woman to fall in love with you, feed her poetry.
Yeah. And like how like immediately Peter was like, I'm going to read 500 books of poetry. And it's like it's so stupid. It's like every woman's the exact same. They all love poetry. It's weird. And I was like, what? No, that just doesn't make any like, I don't know. Anyway,
and they're like, how are you going to get the arms to stop to not the AI. And he's like, you see this blue light?
This one thing is keeping me from getting taken over by
this little tiny light that couldn't be destroyed at all.
Not encased in anything. Just open glass.
And Toby's like, or excuse me, Peter's like,
oh, okay. Like, okay, yeah.
All right, bro.
Genius.
Genius. I would have, yeah.
Sorry, speaking of poetry, I know that you guys both love Bo Burnham. Have either of you guys gotten his book, Egghead?
Yes.
No. Okay.
Yes. Oh, it's funny.
It's over here. It's over here on my shelf somewhere. But there's one, there's a poem in there. It's a comic, like they're funny. Some of them are thought provoking. Some of them are hilarious. But one of my favorites is I fuck sluts.
Oh, yeah. I fuck sluts. He says that in his
stand-up. He says it in one of the specials. He like reads
so
it.
So good. I love it. He puts it on top of his head and reads it. And then he takes it off, turns the page and puts it back on his head. God, I love him.
Which I just
love him.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, if a guy came to me and shared with me, I fuck sluts. I can't even remember the lines of it. You'd be like, oh yeah.
Please, I know we're like a Bo Burnham fan podcast on the side, but please watch his shit if you haven't. I'm telling you, it's all good. Please.
What does he say? Holes get stuffed when I fuck sluts. Sluts get fucked when I just, it's so good. It's like Dr. Seuss wrote a porn.
Yeah, it's so good.
And then it actually like is deep. It's very deep, actually.
That's what she said.
Then we have Doc Ock in the hospital, and the surgeon's like, what does he say?
Welcome to shop class or something stupid like that.
Yeah. Anyone here take shop class?
That's it. That's what it was.
Bad writing.
Oh, it was very hokey. But then when he just takes everyone the fuck out.
Well, he takes everyone out. But then he stands up on the bed and roars.
Yeah. And did you hear the women screaming?
Yeah. That scene bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That scene bad.
That scene, that's also, all they do.
Also, if you hear when he roars, it's on Pride Rock, I believe, and all the the antelope and the elephants,
they run
and
away.
They're like, oh, there's our new king. There's, you know, it was very, yeah.
Then he goes out in the street, and then that little take, but he looks back at the camera with the little claw.
I liked it. Oh, I thought it was so
cool. I did
not. Oh, I liked it. When he looked back, I was like, badass.
If they would have phased the scene off from there, but then they phase it like they're about to phase to another scene. And they go right back to him.
Yeah.
There were some weird transitions here. Mm-hmm. There were some weird transitions. Mm-hmm. That hospital scene too, some guy gets a chainsaw. And for a moment, I was like, this is now a horror movie. Like, everybody's dying. There's a chainsaw. Like, it was...
A bone saw.
McGraw?
Yeah, from the first movie. You're going nowhere.
Clever.
Hey, by the way, we're on a budget. If you'd like to donate, you can go to our Twitter. We are accepting tips on our Twitter. Just go to our Twitter and
our click tits on Twitter.
No, not tits, just tips. On our Twitter, there's a little dollar sign. You can
go
help
to
us.
Our twips on Twitter.
You can get us back to 100% so you don't hear that shitty ba-dum-ching anymore. If you just leave us a $600 tip today. It means controlling the shittiest soundboard in the entire world.
I love when Aunt May, when they're at the bank and they're, this sounds, I said I love at the beginning. It makes it sound like I love that they're I love when they're at the bank and they're begging for money. No, but
reminded me of eating corn at the table. It was
yes. Red. I love when she kicks the banker instead of Peter.
Yeah. And
that
he's
part
like,
still made me laugh.
Who's the banker?
What's his face?
Joel McHale,
yes.
I love him. Oh no, Brandon's got one out too.
Oh, this is gonna get bad fast, guys. Come on.
Ugh. At least this has different ones, I guess.
And no one heard Doc Ock really.
I'm sorry. Hey,
oh no.
Oh, this is what happens when I don't have to run the show. I'm this guy too. I know what it's like. It's really fun. Okay, I see why you guys do it. I'm sorry. Anyway, we'll hold back. Sorry. There was
no one heard Doc Ock at the vault when he clamps his claws into the vault and then blows it. Yeah. No one is alerted until he throws it.
No one. No one.
The clanking or the big tentacles in the bank. Can't tell me no one was looking that direction.
Yeah. Come on. Someone's like, hey, bruh, maybe we need to be on high alert here. It's like, oh, you know, a little octopus dude coming in to get a little loan.
All the money was coins. Not cash.
Okay.
Golden coins.
I had that same nitpick. First of all, okay. So yeah, the fact that nobody was like, sir, that's not the bathroom. Like what? What is happening? But then the fact that gold coins, I'm so sorry, but banks do not have gold coins.
Even in that time. Yes.
Even 15, 20 years ago.
I did read something that they were supposed to be coins from a shipwreck called St. Gaudens, but like, I stretch.
Yeah.
That's a stretch.
It sure is. Yes. I will give you that, Emmy, all day.
And also, how is he going to buy anything? He's going to put those in the mail? Like, here, I'm going to send those to...
He apparently did it because he built that machine real fast.
But like, you can't go and be like, excuse me, how much money will you give me for this gold doubloon?
And everyone knows who he is at this point. Like, he's a villain and he's going to go buy things and they're going to let him.
His government name's out there.
Yeah.
Also, another thing that stood out to me, Peter and Aunt May are struggling through this entire movie financially. And Harry is Peter's best friend and is super rich and does not offer to help him at all. Oh,
shit.
Whatsoever.
I never put that together.
He's but funding like, scientists and everything, yeah. But all Peter needs is like a bill paid. And
yeah, exactly. Hey, by the way, my aunt, she's close to foreclosure. Can you just pay a couple months, like, you know, mortgage payments? That would be really, really great. Get her right back on her feet. And it's like, no, Peter, I've got to find Spider-Man. Or I've got to find that fuck. He killed my dad. It's like, fuck. Ring, ring.
Hey, Spider-Man, I'm going to kill you.
Like, oh, Clinton, I never put that two and two. Now that's going to bother me. I didn't
before until this time now watching it. I was like, man, they're supposed to be best friends. And yeah. I know as
that is a really good point.
But also, like, he's really annoying. He's like, hold on. Oh, I think Emmy and I both just got the same exact. Emmy, go first.
Yeah, okay.
You go first. I think we
I want you to go first because I want to see if we actually got the same point.
That's why I did it anyway. But I said, I really think he's pissed at Peter. Like, you're friends with the bug man. Why the fuck would I help you when you're not even, you know, you take pictures of Spider-Man. You're not helping me out. Why the fuck should I help you out? That's where I was coming from.
The point I was going to make was the fact that Doc Ock was going to make his company a whole bunch of money, but he's basically next to financial ruin now.
Well, yeah, now.
But going now, into it, I don't think he was.
No, he wasn't at the beginning.
No, he should have helped at the beginning.
Yeah.
But I feel like...
But was Peter telling him these things,
No, I think that they had kind of fallen out of touch after...
But maybe he could tell with his apartment he was living in.
When was he over there?
Good point.
And in the first Spider-Man movie, they were living together. And then now Harry has his sights set on squashing that Spider-Man.
That bug. Uh-huh. I'm going to get that bug. No,
not a bug.
Yep, he settled this. It is a bug.
It's a bug, Emmy.
It is a bug.
Let it go.
Some websites disagree.
Emmy, say it's a bug right now.
Well, the dictionary says it is, so.
Oh my God. Loud. Jesus. I broke everyone's head.
Also, if Harry smacked me like that, I would lose my fucking mind. When he did it
twice.
Peter,
he smacked the shit out of me. Let me show you guys
something. Maybe
he liked it.
I need to tell you guys right now. And maybe the listeners.
Maybe you liked it.
Emmy, is there something you're trying to tell us?
Maybe you liked it. Sorry. Tell me something right now.
If you smack me, this is Clinton in real life. For all our listeners that see me every day, don't ever smack me because I don't know why, but if I get smacked in the face, I black out in anger. I just lose it.
I'm going to smack the shit out of you at my wedding. I'm just going to just go all right.
Well, fine. It'll ruin your wedding.
I'm just going to go up to it. Wow. I'm going to be like, just
Oh yeah, I can't stand it.
If I do. Hold on, Renee.
Smacks me in the face. I lose my. I lose it.
Do you take this this woman to be your bride? Hold on a second. Slap. I do. Thanks.
We'll fight.
Did y'all watch How I Met Your Mother?
Yes.
The slap bets. That's what needs to happen. Y'all need to make a slap bet on Brandon's wedding.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Slapsgiving.
You know what, though? She's probably going to leave me at the last second. She's probably going to be like, yeah, she's probably going to have her own little Spider-Man. And she's like, hey, you can't make decisions for me. And so I'm going to get a card.
It's going to be a NASA guy, too.
Yeah, exactly. What if I get a card?
Oh, it's going to be the opposite.
And, yeah, like one of her bridesmaids comes out, like, and she just hands me a card, like, she fucking hates you. And you're like, oh, that sucks, bro.
Plot twist. She's dating Clinton the whole time. He's not really gay.
And then Clinton breaks up with her to break his life, to break her heart. But then I'm already brokenhearted. So there's this like,
Clinton thought I was going to smack him the whole time together. So huge plot twist.
The ultimate twist. Fuck.
Yeah. We should write movies. And then Peter loses. Did I miss something in this movie? And I touched on it, but Peter losing his powers. No basis, right? He just is stressed.
Arachnid dysfunction.
It felt like it was mental when he was struggling.
So it's stress. So that's how powers work now.
It's literally like stress when you can't get the white stuff out of your wrist. It's sometimes stress can cause you not to get, you know, to be able to produce that white stuff.
No, go ahead, Clinton, but I've got a counter argument.
I said, so stress is why he lost his powers. And I was like, I guess it's like a period. Sometimes if you're stressed, you'll miss your period.
Yeah, sometimes when you're stressed, you can't get up and spread the white stuff from your wrist. Yeah.
Yeah, but if you have a superpower, I feel like stress is not going to...
You don't know how superpowers work.
And then the doctor's like, you seem very okay to me.
Yeah, he's like...
He says those lines. Yeah. What doctor has ever been like? You go to the doctor and they're like... Seem very okay to me.
You're great. Nothing's wrong.
And then gives him advice. Like,
yeah.
Random doctor.
Counter argument.
Okay.
She was ready for me.
Huh?
You were ready. As soon as I like said that, you were like, give us your counter argument.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Okay. Westview.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that was my counter argument.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What do you mean Westview?
Wanda. Feels grief.
Well, we're not talking about WandaVision.
But you're talking about the same kind of thing. Peter feels stress, loses his powers. Wanda feels grief,
amplifies her powers.
Yeah. Okay.
So it affects powers. It affects your powers.
Your emotions affect powers.
Okay. So you just help my point, douche.
That's what I was trying to do.
I think you contradicted. I think you're helping my point. It amplifies powers more than anything. Hulk gets stressed, he turns green.
Not stressed, angry. Come on.
Or stressed.
Or horny.
I was going to say it. You took it. I was ready. Oh, Emmy, you got it right before I did. Goodness.
And the montage after he loses his powers, too much.
I can't imagine like getting with Liv Tyler and be like, hey, I'm sorry, I can't do it because I'm going to turn big and green. Fuck, that would suck.
Can we talk about the fact
Liv Tyler is a bad example?
She's Betty Ross.
Can we talk about the fact that he is losing his powers and yet he's like, I need to go on the tippy toppest building that's so up high and like, I'm just going to free fall and see if I land.
Can I please just say one thing, Emmy? The fact that he fucking fell 500 goddamn times in this movie where he was literally like, and he's like, man, I thought I could do my web again. And it's like third, fourth time of him crashing. I'm like, did Sam Raimi see like America's Funniest Videos where someone just falling? And he's like, let's do that with Spider-Man where he just falls over and over. I'm like, fuck, dude. Like after like once, maybe twice, I think I get the gist. Maybe I shouldn't fucking swing again. Maybe I should chill out a little bit.
But if you feel like you're getting it back, maybe you're testing it again, though.
Yeah, okay, but he's fine. Full blown. Like,
test it on monkey bars. Go to monkey bars.
Do little things.
He literally falls four or five times, and like the fourth time, I'm like pissed off. I'm like, what? Quit falling!
I'm back. My back. Yeah. Hannah was watching it. She was like, how is he even walking after that?
He's better at falling than Captain America is.
Ooh.
At least Captain America, like, he hurt his back and it looked brutal. Like, freaking Spider-Man was just like, I'm gonna do the same shit 3 or 4 times. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. I'm saying it is, so fuck off. But no, it's literally like constantly swinging. He's like, all right, I'm back. Whoa! I'm back. Whoa! I'm back. Whoa! I'm like, holy shit, figure it out.
And then apparently when he loses his powers, we know what kind of person he really is. He's an asshole.
Because he's like,
I don't care about anybody. That guy getting beat up in the alley when he didn't have his powers, I'm like, you just walked away. Like,
he was struggling mentally. He was dealing with it.
You could have tried to help
him. Somebody was shouting out help. Like, you can't just turn your back on that.
He was like, oh, no, I'm Peter Parker now and I'm doing my thing. I'm going to get MJ.
You saw a little bit of the Iron
Spider-Man 3.
Spider-Man 3 in Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, you did. And Spider-Man 3, they lean into it and they make him so unlikable. He's not a hero in Spider-Man 3. I will argue that all day. If you think Peter Parker is a hero in Spider-Man 3, cannot wait to review this one with you. You're probably going to hate me. He is such a supreme dick in Spider-Man 3. Not just when he's taken over by the symbiote. He is completely a douche the entire Spider-Man 3. And I stand by that opinion. I've seen that movie recently and I'm going to watch it again for the review. Cannot stand him.
I think I've only seen it twice and it was years ago. I'm very excited to watch it again, honestly.
I actually can't stand him more now that I've seen it recently. It's worse for Peter Parker now.
Can I talk about some of my favorite bits?
Please, because we've really, like, besides the first 10 minutes of this podcast of saying we love this movie, we've completely beat the shit out of it.
Okay. First of all, one of my favorite things is the woman with the violin who keeps popping up singing the Spider-Man soundtrack.
Spider-Man. Yes.
But horribly. Like, she does it like Smelly Cat. Like, Phoebe does Smelly Cat.
Yes.
That's what it reminds me of. Did you guys know that there is a deleted scene where Harry can hear it from his balcony and he pours a scotch on her?
What?
Which makes him even more of a dick, but honestly, I would have loved to see that
in.
Yeah.
Something else that I really loved, Spider-Man in the elevator.
Oh, I have that in my notes. The longest elevator ever, by the way.
Longest. And I was watching it on...
You don't know how tall that building is.
You were watching the DVD, Emmy. Go on.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, you have my DVD.
Shh.
I was watching it on DVD.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Cassette, yeah. Actually. Really? Cassette. It was on VHS. That whole exchange is just really funny. And then... Yeah, really, it's a little itchy, kind of rides up in the crotch like that. Okay, cool.
That worked. That worked there. It was a funny, the humor was earned. Yeah,
I thought it was hilarious. Yeah.
Okay, that I like. Okay, I like that we got to see Uncle Ben again. Even if it was just for a second, it was a little odd. It was a little...
In the car with the white background.
Yeah. And it was almost like he was talking to Ben, but breaking up with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It was weird, but I did like that we got to see him again.
I do. I agree. I thought it was a really cool touch.
But Peter was still being angsty here. It's like, no, I'm not going to. Because Ben was trying to encourage him to
be Spider-Man-y.
So to me, it felt like he didn't learn anything from the conversation him and Ben had before. It was like he did the same thing he did in the first one here.
Fair point. Fair point.
Oh, guys, do we actually really like this movie?
Doc Ock, man.
Doc Ock is the reason why this movie is awesome.
Yeah, Doc. I just am not, and I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry I'm that person on the podcast. While reviewing these movies, I do not like Tobey Maguire as Peter Parker. I'm sorry. I'm excited for him in No Way Home if the rumors are true because of the fluidity of it all and like bringing it canon.
And like the first Spider-Man we've ever seen in the big screen is now technically canon with the MCU is a really right. cool thing. Yeah,
I just don't like Tobey Maguire. I feel like he's, I don't like him as Peter Parker. I feel like he's emotionless when he's Peter Parker. He don't deliver for me in the emotion department.
It's almost like he
monotone.
Yeah, monotone, and also it's like he's an island. He doesn't connect with other characters.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, that's a really good way to put it.
I just don't feel like he sells Peter Parker for one, and he's mm-hmm. always, I don't know. I don't know how to pinpoint it. Even the opening of this movie, the monologue that he gives is just very...
Can I just say the opening monologue did not sound like Tobey Maguire at all to me? It sounded like a completely different actor.
Not
it
me.
Sounded like him.
Really?
And he just says the oh boy thing. Oh boy. And if you're saying oh boy, and maybe it's fun for the comic like heads, like those would be quippy things they would put, you know, but he don't sell it. It's oh boy. Oh boy. There's just no excitement.
You think he phones
it.
In his performance quite a bit? Or he just doesn't have that range that you would
don't.
Like?
Maybe at this time in his career, he didn't. I didn't watch many of his other movies because this one really. Mm-mm.
Great Gatsby. He's pretty much the same character, but
he's
in that.
Yeah.
I forgot to be honest with you. And I love that movie, but I can do him like I can do it as Spider-Man because mm-hmm. it's not really showing him. But the moment that mask comes off, I'm done. I just am not sold. I'm sorry.
Favorite bits, Emmy?
Okay, you know what? I'll say,
do we actually like this
movie? I love this movie.
Honestly, I really do.
I honestly enjoy it too, for the most part. I don't know why we shit on it when we review it, because when the credits were rolling, I was actually a big fan of this movie. I really, really enjoyed it.
Okay, so...
And I stand by that.
I've got a couple other things. I think I really liked the way that they did the effects. I think that because it looked so much better than the first one, because mm-hmm. they went practical for so many of them. And then they also, the Doc Ock's laboratory was built in a soundstage. Like it was a whole set. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They didn't just like green screen it or anything like that. I do think that that adds to the quality of the movie.
Yes,
for sure.
Completely agree.
Did anybody else think that the glass looked a little bit like Sanctum Sanctorum?
Yes, I thought the same thing. I didn't think this watch. I did too.
I didn't even notice that.
The little circle glass.
I thought so for sure. And because they mentioned Bleecker Street, like it's on his helmet, but then he also says, like, I saw your ad on Bleecker Street. I think Doctor Strange was like at the forefront of my mind. Also, the line, we won't tell nobody, that little kid.
Double negative.
Okay, first of all, yes. Second of all, when I was in band, the band room, outside of the band room was where all the vending machines were. And one day the vending machines broke. And there was a girl in our school who was inappropriate at times. She named her clarinet Dickie and said she likes to blow him. And this was when I was a sheltered high school student. And so I was like,
her name start with an L?
No.
Okay.
No.
Never mind.
This is somebody different. So the day that this vending machine broke,
Does her name start with an S?
No. I happened to be walking through this hallway and it was just spitting out pops. Like it was just spitting out drink after drink after drink. And this girl had her arms were full of drinks and she was just picking them up and she'd pick up the next one. And she turned around and saw me and my friend looking at her, just kind of just watching the scene. She turned around and she goes, "Don't tell nobody." And ran into the band room. And that's what that scene reminds me of.
Well, that was very sweet.
I just got double negatives. It's don't tell anybody.
Yes, Clinton.
Or I won't tell anybody. Double negatives stand out to me hardcore.
We won't tell anybody. Yeah. But it's a stupid kid. So.
Oh.
Sorry.
How did y'all like the ending that we got with the convenient mirror breaking in the secret lair with Harry Osborn?
Yeah, it's It just feels like, oh, go shit. Remember Green Goblin from the first one? This guy who's been pissed at Spider-Man this entire movie is gonna be bad. And it's like,
and conveniently a secret layer behind the mirror he conveniently throws something at.
And now he's gonna be Goblin Jr. Stay tuned, folks. And there's pumpkin little blasters everywhere. He's got a stockpile for days. Happy and Halloween, motherfuckers. Yeah, it was just okay. A little too on the nose for me, but yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. I thought that they did a really good buildup for him. Because it was like, and I get what you guys are saying about him being like, oh, I'm gonna kill Spider-Man. I'm gonna kill Spider-Man. Blah, 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 blah. But it was like kind of like throughout the movie, it was kind of like a slow burn. And then at the end, it's like it's a buildup to three.
It was burning from the beginning. It was on fire. It was not a slow burn. Because his character said the same thing the whole movie. And then we got a payoff. Yes. But if he would have been okay at the beginning and grieving, show us him grieving. Yeah. Like sad and Peter trying to be there for him. And then the shock of it being Peter would have meant more than this, because he was treating Peter like shit too. I don't know why he was so shocked that he was Spider-Man. Show us Peter being there for him through this and then him seeing Peter as Spider-Man. Then I would have been like, oh, okay, I get it. He's shocked.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, no, I completely agree. They made them so divisive this entire time, where
the whole time.
Exactly. So it was not this big, huge, oh shit moment. Yeah. If he, because even at the end of the first Spider-Man movie, he's like, I'm going to find him. And, you know, and he's kind of confiding in Peter, you know, and if that confiding would have continued to develop, but honestly, not even just continue to
give us their development. Yeah. Instead of him and MJ.
Yeah, friendship, where they continue to develop as friends. They continue to be there for one another, you know, exchange thoughts, ideas, and just aspirations with one another. And then at the end, holy shit, the guy who I trusted, who has filled that void for me while my father has been gone as a brother to me, is now Spider-Man? What the fuck?
That's the guy who killed my dad?
Instead of this, like, tell me where your bug friend is. Yeah, and I guess it makes sense because he's photographing Spider-Man. How do you make that make sense? But just, you know, I get that. But at the same time, it's like, that can be a quick passing note. Maybe, I don't know. You could still maybe potentially make it work, but it doesn't have to be this whole, fuck you, I'm going to find him. Fuck you, I'm going to find him. Fuck you, I'm going to find him. Where'd you go? Oh, there's Spider-Man. Fuck you, I'm going to find him. Fuck you, I'm going to find him. Oh, you're Spider-Man? You know, it was like, it was just weird. It felt, you know, and it just treats everyone like they're dumbasses. Like James Franco's character immediately is a dumbass, because in this Doc Ock scene where he becomes Doc Ock, you know, it's just this, where'd you go, Pete? Where's Spider-Man? What the fuck are you doing here? You know, and it's just completely, are you not putting it together? Are you not seeing what anyone with fucking two eyes and decent vision can see? And then when you think he's a dumbass, you lose respect for the character. You lose interest in the character. And I know that's part of the lore of the comics, but it suffers. It really suffers. And so does the story. And so does this whole thing between Pete and Goblin Jr. That's my rant.
Oh, we pissed Brandon off. He said, he said fuck like 14 times.
Like 14. Yeah. And I feel like we'd already hit that F quota in this episode.
That's why we're explicit on Apple Podcasts and Google and Spotify, everybody. Don't listen to us if you don't want to hear the word fuck. No, it's just sorry.
And it's plus frustrating because it is so drawn out and it's the same thing. They could have saved scenes. In my opinion, if they would have developed him and Harry more than him and MJ here, it would have worked on both fronts.
Yeah.
Because the MJ stuff,
it's not earned. At the end of the day, it's not earned. And that's frustrating. It's really frustrating.
Like, yeah. Maybe not focused, but like at least like had an equal amount of time and less of a roller coaster happening between him and MJ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The roller coaster with MJ, which was just like, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, and then like, I don't know. It's just okay.
But Doc Ock, though. Okay. There were two lines that I thought were really, really crap writing.
Oh, we were supposed to say things we liked and we're back to crap.
I know. Well, I don't have anything else that I liked.
Damn it.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm different. Punch me. I bleed.
Oh, it's what? So... I wrote that
That's
down too.
That's the only example.
I wrote that down too, Emmy. It's not good. You punch me, I bleed. It's like, it, what?
What? For a second, it seems like it's almost going to be like a Merchant of Venice Shakespeare moment, but it ends up
flat.
Not being that.
Not that at all. I thought he was going to go more in depth. Even seen this movie before, he's like, punch me, I bleed. And I'm like, uh-huh.
And
then nothing. Nothing. It's like, what? But yeah.
Also, okay. Doc Ock really likes collateral damage. Like, he is not afraid to
kill some people.
Kill.
You don't give a fuck.
Well, I thought of that. It's really the train scene where when he jumps off and then he, like, well, he grabs puts
just
people
a couple people
and yeets them. Yeet. And
then it's like, I'm going to build a spider web bed for you.
But then quick. I thought, to counter that, I thought he's
look
doing this.
My butt. Look what my butt made.
But then he's doing it to get Spider-Man off his trail because he knows he'll go save people before he'll chase him. So he does it to get him to get off of him.
Which, and let's be honest, statistically, the fact that Doc Ock grabbed Aunt May, statistically unlikely, but that's just the mathematician in me.
And then this movie really phones home that boomers will believe everything they read because she hated Spider-Man.
She did.
Because of everything she read.
It was the moment.
Yeah, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, it was definitely a prediction of the future for sure.
Yeah, 100%, except it's social media now.
Yep.
The moment that Doc Ock said whatever he said, and then, or I will peel the flesh off of her bones.
Holy shit.
Dark.
Uh-huh.
Is that Dark Ock?
Yeah, that's barista dark right there. It was dark.
I think it's Jigsaw. From
I want to play a game.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Well, we like this movie, I promise. thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you. Doc Ock. If there's anything that we're happy that's being confirmed 100% in Spider-Man No Way Home, no rumor here. Doc Ock is going to be in it, and I cannot wait. And
I'm sorry.
I'm stoked.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yes. Ask us a question. Give us some post credits, and we're going to head on out of here.
Was there a freeze frame in this movie, or did my...
No, freeze frame. I thought the same thing.
The sun does it on keeps purpose. Falling on my head, but that doesn't mean my eyes will soon. Is it that one? Where yes, it was a freeze.
That's
frame.
On purpose.
I was like,
that was
did
on
the
purpose.
DVD skip?
Nope.
I thought it did.
Nope. I actually saw that and I was like, well, holy fuck. Let's just throw in a freeze frame of Peter being happy. Yeah.
That's yeah. Transitions. Awful. Remember? I mean, not great.
They're not great. They're not that. And I was like, did surely. Not fit. Surely that's an accident.
Don't call me Shirley because that wasn't an accident. Post credits. Amy, who do we got?
I'm ashamed.
Oh no. What do you have?
Okay. Our assistant camera. Tim Cruise. Okay.
Tom Cruise's cousin, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Why did you stick up for it, Clinton? Let it fall.
Because I like it. I like Clinton. It.
Oh. Okay.
I'm with you, Emmy. Is it spelled the same way though? Cruise.
No. No.
Then it don't count. Then it's Terry Cruz's cousin.
I love Clint. Was
Ted,
like,
it's
I'm
Ted
with
Cruz's
you.
Cousin. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. No. My bad.
Terry Cruz, not Ted Cruz.
No, Cruz.
Let's go.
Terry
Maybe Cruz. Anyone else?
The Zodiac Killer.
Anyone else?
The next two have a common theme. We've got our Libra head operator. Rocky Babcock.
Okay.
All right.
And our stunt rigger, Rocky Dickey Jr.
Oh, that was funny.
They have the same first name and their last names are phallic. Yay!
Yay!
Whoa.
Guys, Spider-Man 2 2004, we are going to be reviewing Spider-Man 3 next. It's going to be a lot of fun. Shut up. It's going to be great.
Brandon's spicier when he ain't controlling this stuff.
Just shut the fuck up. No, I'm just joking.
He loves the F word a lot. Not you.
Guys, I'm sorry. I'm tired. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, I have a button for that. Hold on.
Oh, God, please tip us. Get us out of this horrible. Please, if you can get us back to this horrible adventure of we are podcasting from a potato and Emmy is taking advantage of every bit of it. Guys, any final words? And I hate to ask that from Emmy, but you, who just did that. Any final words before we head on out here?
These nuts.
Hope dangles on a string, like so spinning redemption. Winding out. The shine of it has caught my eye.
I'm done.
Mesmerizing. So
hypnotizing.
I am captivated. I am vindicated. I am selfish.
I am right.